First, you must take some wine. Can you describe it?
It's a nice red wine.
I think you can do better.
A bold wine with a hint of sophistication and lacking in pretension. Actually, I was just talking about myself.
You are not wrong. Wine is like people. The vine takes all the influences and life all around it. It absorbs them and it gets its personality.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Everyone's entitled to a little confusion in their lives. I practically thrive on it.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for, your media resource for everything about that lovely, wonderful elixir. At least for those of you who are still with us after that charmingly boring introduction. Kent, you got something else.
No, we haven't used that one in a long time.
There's a reason for that. That snoring, that sawing sound you hear is not my sinuses dripping. It is the whole nation falling asleep listening to that one.
Come on. That's Kevin Kline and what's her name?
Boy, that's helpful.
Yeah, okay.
Now, see, what you should have done today is use something from Sideways. Because, yes, we are blessed. We have Rex Pickett with us today. He is the author of the book Sideways. And he actually has a sequel coming out. And the sequel is called, of course, Vertical. If you're not sideways, you're vertical, depending on how much Chardonnay. Usually I'm vertical before I'm sideways. But however he wants to do it. Anyway, he is joining us today for talking a little bit about the further adventures of Miles and Jack. So that will be a lot of fun. So if you would pay attention behind the booth and pay attention to what we're doing on the show, you would have known to use Sideways today.
I will make an effort to listen to the rest of the show.
Well, that will help. See if you can find something from Sideways. Actually, we were laughing. There is a new sitcom on, and no, I don't know the station. It's Courtney Cox from Friends.
Yeah.
Called Cougar Town.
And yeah. Oh yeah.
All they do in that show is drink.
Betty
That's all
White.
They do. They do is drink wine. So the least you can do is tune in, find that show, and at least find me something entertaining.
I'll get that then.
There we go. Courtney Cox and I have so much in common after all. You know, obsessive compulsive, a little bit difficult. It would be a perfect segue into our show.
A little bit difficult. Okay.
Yes. As you can tell, we have our illustrious Kent Bernhardt back with us today. Everyone say yay! Yes, Laura and I had fun. You know, I'm convinced I know why Kent's back today. Within 3 minutes of walking into the studio, not only was I freezing to death because it's 32 degrees, I started sneezing like I haven't in 10 years.
Yeah.
So while I'm doing my wonderful seven dwarf impression, it must be because of Kent. I must be allergic to him.
Well, the lovely club upstairs stores their meat in that studio. That's why it's so cold.
I figured as much. It's funny. People will get in my car and they'll ask me why I have a parka, a sweatshirt, and a pair of socks. I said, because I'm on the radio. They're like, right. What are you, standing on a car grill while they're going down the street? Is that how you're on the radio? I'm like, No, I just need that to actually go be armored. Anyway, enough about me. I'm sure you have not tuned in to hear about that. You have tuned in to hear about the lovely Wine Crush. Of course, we have introed our guest for the week. We are very much looking forward to talking with Rex Pickett. But, of course, my wine recommendations are what keep you adamantly listening to the show. This week, two things come to mind. Since we just got past All Saints Eve, we had to do a saint. So my white this week is St. Francis Chardonnay. We've talked about St. Francis in the past. In fact, I believe Tom Mackey has been a guest on the show before. St. Francis is this charming little winery in Sonoma. They do a Chardonnay, and the price point on the Chardonnay is absolutely outstanding. You should be able to find this Chardonnay for under $10 in just about any Mega Mart you go into. But what's great about it, it has a little bit of oak, it has a lot of body, but it's just really, really clean, it's refreshing, it tells you what Sonoma's all about and what it can do. So that is our white today, a St. Francis Chardonnay. Now, for something a little bit different, obviously, I know some of you just get world-weary about me recommending Chardonnays all the time, so I do have to give you that token red. But today, because we have entered into the latter half of the year, the holiday season is upon us, the cold weather is upon us. In fact, I went into my local drugstore the other day, and literally the day of Halloween, because, of course, my husband had eaten all the candy in the house that I had bought for the trick-or-treaters, I go to buy candy. And I can't find the candy in the drugstore simply because they have taken all the candy down on Halloween and put up all the Christmas decorations. So, because apparently all the retailers want to celebrate Christmas, let's talk about the perfect red wine as we segue into the holidays. It's going to be a port. And one I'm going to recommend, people don't really know port that well. People think a port is something you cook with or something that you sail into, but it really is a great after-dinner or dinner wine. Now, granted, you don't want to pour a tumbler full of it. You want to pour a few ounces. But Taylor 10-Year Tawny Port is what I'm going to recommend. This is just great by the fire. It's great with appetizers. It's great after dinner. It's great with some heavy cheeses, whether it's blue cheese, whether it's aged cheddar. And it just has a great refinement. Now, port, of course, is made in a little bit different style than what we're used to. It is actually aged in oak cask. It's something like, says, Taylor 10-Year Tawny Port. It is aged roughly for 10 years. What's interesting is important to keep in mind, these wines are horizontally and vertically integrated. Now, there's your question for the week. How many of you know what horizontally and vertically integrated is? If you paid attention to me speaking about champagne, you've heard it there when we talk about house styles. But because I don't like to keep you in suspense, bottom line is it's from different vineyards and different vintages. And they put them all together in cask, so they pretty much can negate the fact of one vintage being better than the other. So there is your recommendation, Taylor 10-Year Tawny Port. What's great about it this year, too, or any year, you can go out, buy a bottle of Taylor 10-Year right now. Open up a bottle, pour yourself 2 ounces tonight. Put the cork back in the bottle, put it back on the counter. You're done. Next week, you can go back. Grab the bottle, pour yourself 2 ounces. Drink the 2 ounces, put the bottle back on the counter, leave it there. 2 weeks later, you can go back. Bottom line is this bottle will keep for 6 weeks. And so you can just sip on it socially and just enjoy it and don't have to worry about it going bad. Because certainly, I would never advocate pouring a big old 10-ounce glass of port. At least if you plan on getting up the next morning, it is not in your best interest. So there are your wine recommendations for the week. St. Francis Chardonnay out of Sonoma and Taylor 10-Year Tawny Port. For those of you with further questions as we get in the holidays and what you should be drinking, what you should be bringing, what you should be gifting, easy for me to say. See, the sinuses are kicking in. It's that seven dwarf thing. You need to call us, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me at lauralawson@winecrush.com. And I do appreciate a lot of you have been sending out emails and well wishes and, well, just the occasional commentary, which I do pass those straight on to Kent. He appreciates that humor in his day. But we do want to hear from you because the show is all about you. And without you, I wouldn't have anything interesting to talk about. I'd be stuck with Kent, which is never, ever a banner thing.
You know, I think I'm going to take another week off next week just to recover from all of this.
Poor baby.
Yeah.
Laura wouldn't mind. We enjoyed each other. We had a lot of fun.
Two women in the studio, did you really get along?
Of course we got along.
That doesn't normally happen.
Well, for the most part, I get away all day of telling Laura what to do, but we're in the studio. She gets to tell me what to do.
Okay.
So she takes such great joy out of it. I'd hate to let her down.
Yes.
Yeah, she's sitting there glaring at the radio. She's listening to this right now. Hi, Laura. Really, we love you. That's why we dug you up. All right, but seriously, talking about something, when I mentioned horizontally and vertically integrated with the port, it's obviously to mitigate a lot of the different vintages in the sense that, obviously, let's look at 2010. 2010 vintage report is in, and it's going to be anybody's guess and anybody's game how these wines are going to come out. You talk to different people. We talk to different winemakers. I have a couple of friends that are over in Geyserville, and they're in Dry Creek, and they're just heartbroken over the Zinfandel and the problems they had from a really cool growing season to some wet to 105 degrees at the end to some Cabernet makers that are just delighted. Those in Alexander Valley, those in Geyserville, once again, who were growing Cabernet, are really looking forward to seeing what 2010 will bring as far as a vintage, because ultimately it was probably the worst vintage, some will say in 100 years, that California has seen. So it's really going to separate the mice from the men when we start seeing what the winemakers do with it, how the growers handled it, when they got in, when the fruit got in, before the rains, after the heat. In fact, if you think about it right now, think about the date you're listening to this, there is still some lonely little Syrah hanging on hillsides there. So we are very much looking forward to seeing the pre-reports on this vintage, but it will be a lot of fun. So for those of you who have gotten spoiled and used to all these great reds and all this wonderful stuff coming out of California, I think 2010, as I called in 2009, I said 2010 as a year is going to be very interesting because we'll see a glut, we'll see a lot of high-end wines that are backlogged. We'll see a lot of interesting things happen. 2010 may have been a godsend in the harvest sense because a lot of people, they dropped a lot of fruit. they didn't produce a lot of wine or they didn't have a lot of juice out there. And what they had, they're going to pare down to see if they can make it high quality. So maybe what will wind up being the worst harvest of the century will wind up being one of the best boons for the business. I think we'll see some soft, great, supple wines coming out. But that's just me. That's my prediction, even though I am usually right. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we'll answer some of your calls, some of your emails, and get geared up to talk to Rex Pickett, the author of Vertical.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUsKids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, and I see Kent is still falling asleep in the booth. But the good news is we are going to have some excitement on the line.
You know where that music's from?
No, I don't know where the music's
from. That's sideways.
Okay, very well, fine. You can at least give me some dialogue or at least give me a heads up before I put my foot in my mouth as Mr. Rex Pickett is on the line. Rex, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura. How are you doing?
I am outstanding. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's warm here in Santa Monica.
I am very, very, I guess jealous of you at this point. I've complained all summer about being warm, but now that it's actually dropped under 40 degrees, I'm not a happy girl. So
I hope I wouldn't mind some 40 degrees over here.
Well, enjoy it as much as you can. We'll try and send it your way. Well, I have to admit, I am delighted to have you on the show. I don't know if you're a fan of the show. I have to admit, I have not treated one of your characters kindly over the years, but I am very excited
to hear that.
Do what?
What character is that?
It's a running joke of my friends that if I ever saw Miles in the parking lot, I wouldn't hit the brakes.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
I'm sorry. I know.
Now,
it's just...
And now, Laura, are you aware... Maybe you haven't read the novel or not, but are you aware that Miles was written in the first person?
I realize that, which is why I am sitting here laughing. Of course, it is more a reflection. I'm sure you'd never steal money from your mother's drawer. There were a lot of things about Miles.
You know what, Laura? That is the number one question I've been asked for 5 years. And oh, by the way, before we end this segment, you have to tell me what vehicle car you drive so I can look at the license plate. Because now I realize, you know, I'm going to be mowed down. You know? And I think I've got a better fate than that.
The good news is they don't let me drive out in Santa Monica anymore.
Well, actually, in the novel, Miles' mother is actually wealthy. She lives in Montecito, just south of Santa Barbara. And actually, in the novel, Jack gives him the money to pay back. And in the novel, Miles is he needs the money to pay his rent. Unfortunately, but they changed him to being a school teacher, so now he's a wage earner. His mother was clearly middle class, and it appears though he's taking the money to go buy high end wine. So it was, and I get asked that question all the time. Why did he have to steal from his mom? You know.
Well, it was funny when the movie first came out. That was the first I'd been introduced to it, and yes, I have read the novel, I promise. But when the movie first came out, I was still in the wine business on the selling end. And literally within 6 weeks of that movie coming out, I could not give Merlot away. And I sold to restaurants and I worked with big programs and I was creating up things for multiple levels with hotels. And I talked to people about Merlot and they would just look at me like I had four heads.
Well, so, you know, that's number two question. No offense, whatever. You're going right down the wonderful line. But Merlot earned that reputation, unfortunately.
Oh, no doubt about it. There was so much bad Merlot out there.
Unlike Pinot, you can grow Merlot in a hot climate. You can go in with these harvesters and shake the vines, and then they go on these – I won't name any wineries here, but we know their names. And then on these huge conveyor belts with workers trying to pull out as many leaves and mice and other things, even snakes I've heard, going down there might even be in your Merlot. Now, look, at the high-end Chateau Petrus or in Napa – you have Duckhorn and Swanson and Schaefer. They make wonderful Merlots. You know, I have nothing against it. And look, it was just one line. I had no idea that was going to decimate an industry, but they earned it.
You never knew you were going to become the pariah Merlot, did you?
I don't mind being the pariah of Merlot. I think I did the wine industry a favor. I turned people away from what is mostly a blending grape. For the most part, it's meant to soften the tannins in Cabernet Sauvignon, as you know, in Bordeaux by law. Those wines have to be 75% Cabernet Sauvignon, I think 10 or 15% Merlot, and a little bit of Cabernet Franc and Petit Verdoux. And the Merlot is a round, soft grape, but 100% Merlot has to be treated really right. Otherwise, it's just a flabby, nothing, you know. Well, now I'm sounding like Miles, aren't I?
Uh-oh.
I certainly was not going to point that out. I do have my car keys.
I look different than Miles. You know, my new novel, Vertical, which is a sequel and a follow-up. Some of the early people have read it. There's a little bit more sex in this novel because in Sideways, in the novel, not in the – well, also in the movie, too. This is kind of interesting. Stop me if I'm rambling. But because it's written in first person, you can't go where Jack doesn't go. In the movie, they could, but they never do. If you watch the movie closely, the director, Alexander Payne, a wonderful man, he always stays with Miles in the movie. You never go off with Jack and Stephanie, the Sandra Oh, you know, who played her. So you've got, you know, and of course Miles isn't, you know, he isn't getting laid in Sideways except for that one time. But, you know, in this one there's, you know, Miles is now successful. He's famous and, you know, kind of like not famous, but you know what I mean. And so,
or infamous, however you want to look at it.
So people say, oh my God, every time they read, you know, when they read early version, my God, I'm thinking of Paul Giamatti, but I don't look anything like Paul. So, but I love Paul. He's a great actor.
Well, I just, it's so much fun to talk to you. Now, let's talk with our listeners a little bit. All right, so okay. We've gone from Sideways to Vertical. As I was joking with my producer earlier, usually when I'm drinking wine, I go from Vertical to Sideways. So where did the name from the, obviously there's a lot of wine connotations when you come to the name Vertical, but how does it impact the book and where did it come from?
You know, I was having trouble titling this novel, and I've mostly been a screenwriter, so I've written like over 25 screenplays. I've never had problems with a title, but this one I was really stuck on, and I was over at a wine shop, and I always say, what are you working on, Rex? Well, I'm doing the Sideways sequel. I can't figure out what to call it. And this guy just said, how about Vertical? He's like making a joke, and it stuck. And the reason it stuck, it does have those connotations. Of course, a vertical tasting is where you taste through one wineries, you know, through different years. That's a vertical tasting. Also, the novel starts in San Diego. Basically, it's 7 years later. Miles is now a successful author, and he's become a bit of a debauched character. And Jack, of course, is divorced. We knew that marriage wasn't
That's shocking.
He has a kid, and he's on the skids. He can't get work, and he's drinking a little too much or whatever. And Miles' mother has had a stroke, and she's kind of wasting away in an assisted living facility down in San Diego. Actually, this is my real life.
I was about to say, how much of this is parallel at this point?
It's really this novel is more personal than Sideways, which was actually pretty personal. This is kind of tough to watch it on the screen in some places for me. But Vertical is even more personal. So anyway, she wants to be with her sister in Wisconsin. So when Miles gets offered to be, as I was, the master of ceremonies at the huge international Pinot Noir celebration in the Willamette Valley, he hatches this plan. So he leases a handicapped ramp van.
Oh, good Lord.
Hires a pot-smoking Filipina caretaker, and then they get Miles' mother, in a very funny scene, they get her little rascally Yorkie terrier back, and they all five of them, or four and a half of them, start heading to Oregon.
Okay, well, we're going to have to wait for a good commercial break. So we're going to leave you right now. We have a Yorkie, a handicapped mother, a van, and a Filipino caretaker.
And Miles and Jack.
All right, we're going to leave you with that. When we return, we are going to hear about the adventures of Miles as he continues up California.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
The Wine Crush.
This is Laura Lawson. You're listening to The Wine Crush, and we're going vertical today with Rex Pickett. Rex, are you still with us?
I'm still there.
All right. So when we left you, we were talking about how Miles and Jack are continuing their journey. So they are starting back out in Southern California, and we are on our way to Oregon, you said?
That's right.
All right.
To
this
the
is
International
bound.
Pinot Noir celebration. It's probably the biggest Pinot Noir I don't know what you want to call it, a conference.
Symposium.
In the world.
It's amazing.
And costs a lot of money to go, and it's a 3-day debauch.
It is. I have had the pleasure of going, at least from what I remembered. I had a great time and learned a lot. So besides that, we are putting Miles in the middle of all this Pinot. So it would be safe to assume that in vertical, we are still a champion for Pinot Noir?
Absolutely, except in this case, the E is going to really celebrate the wines of the Willamette Valley.
I am sure they will be delighted. We had Alex Sokolblosser on the show about 5 weeks ago, and he always says, Oregon first, the winery second. That's something I really love about that area. So,
and I think his wine made it into the book, too. There was a lot of politicking on that one, but I had to go with my gut instinct. You know, I don't do product placement. So
I was about to say, how does that work in something like that? When you're picking wineries, or you're, obviously some of us on the backside know what wineries were used in Sideways. How do you pick the wineries in your book? Are they personal favorites? Are they things you like?
Yeah, exactly. And I had some people up there because I'm 1,000 miles south of Portland, and I've been, of course, to the Willamette Valley and up there, and and I had some people, and they started sending me bottles. In fact, one day the UPS guy came over, and he was lugging 2 cases up the stairs to my apartment here, and he said, no, I got a few more, and he went back 6 times, and I had 12 cases of wine on my doorstep.
So at least we know why you wrote a sequel. You want to drink well.
Yeah, right. So then what I did was I held a couple of really big wine tasting parties at my ex-girlfriend's house, and I brought in people who really weren't, they're not sommeliers, they're not really wine snobs at all, and I really wanted kind of the plebeian opinion, that was number one. Plebeian's the wrong word, but just sort of the opinion of the hoi polloi of wine drinkers. I wasn't really interested in the high-end opinion, except maybe in an advisory capacity.
Right.
And they had to write down notes and everything else, and it was really wonderful. Also, I wanted to celebrate the smallest producers, the least known I could, because, you know, as wonderful as Ponzi is or Archery Summit or Patricia Green, they're so big, they don't really need the publicity. But it's just going to be good for the Willamette Valley in general, Laura.
I think it'll be great, and I think that's one thing. Obviously, all of us are very excited to read Vertical. When does the book actually come out?
It comes out on November 21st.
Okay. Well, all of our listeners, there'll be a link on the Wine Crush website so you can find the book.
Great.
But
you can also put verticalthenovel.com because I'm blogging on there, and people seem to be liking the blog. So, it's called My Life on Spec, and it's all my crazy life before the writing of Sideways, and then it went crazy in a completely different way after the movie came out. So, people seem to be enjoying that. It's the first blog I've ever done. It's the first website I've ever had, Laura.
Well, see, all of us are growing up and we're learning these kind of things. It seems like
right.
All of us fall somehow into the influential position in the wine just by fluke. So that does lead me to the question. Obviously, Sideways impacted especially the backside and the dark side of the wine business in just unimaginable ways. Were you really expecting what happened Sideways to be as embraced by the wine community as it was?
Absolutely not. When I wrote that novel, and this is in my blog, by the way, again, verticalthenovel.com, is I had no idea. I mean, but when I wrote it, I was just hoping somebody would publish it as a novel and that would be it. I had no idea it was going to be a movie. And then when it was finally a movie, I had no idea it was going to be this huge celebration of wine. But right after the movie came out, prior to that, the book actually came out only like 8 months before the movie, oddly enough. I'd go to a book signing, there'd be two people there. After, there'd be like 250 people lined up or whatever. So I realized it was huge. And then all the winemakers like Kitchen Post and Sea Smoke and Fiddlehead, all the ones, they had publicists. They were all over that one, Laura. They knew how to publicize themselves. I had no idea, Laura. No idea at all.
They were definitely going to take away from that what they could. You know,
I fell in love with the area, and I fell in love with Pinot Noir, but to me, that's not really what the novel was about when I was writing it. It was sort of a backdrop, but it suddenly became, it really got shoved to the forefront in many, many ways, and it was great for the wine world, so I don't, it's not so much the defaming of Merlot and the celebration of Pinot, because Pinot is only 1% of the total world production of grape varieties. Merlot, I think, gosh, I don't know. I had the figures on it. I mean, I think Merlot accounted in this country for 18% of all red wine sales. It was the number one red wine, selling grape. So,
you do know that ever since the movie, that Merlot has tumbled 28%, right?
Yeah. No, I heard they were ripping out vineyards and planting them with Pinot, except Pinot doesn't grow where Merlot goes. But well, they deserved it. They needed to start over. But you know what it did? Initially, the people who were making, like Duck Horn and Schaefer, were making really good Merlot. Actually, they benefited ultimately in the long run because the people who still like the taste of Merlot turned to the better Merlots.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with that. For those that already made quality products, people stood by them. That's
right.
Something I'll get off to in a later
segment.
But
the Willamette Valley, what's interesting, Laura, is they are planted in 67% Pinot Noir. See, that's what really attracted me. The San Ynez Valley, which is where Sideways was shot, I think is only about 20%. So 67%, they're on the same latitude as Burgundy. They're really very Pinot-centric. And so this is, of course, Miles has to go there.
Of course he does. And see, I think that's what's great about the Willamette is the people that came there and founded there. If you think about it, it's a new world up there. But they went, they
right.
studied, they learned, and they realized early on they weren't necessarily going to grow Cabernet, that Pinot was perfect. So it worked out well. I personally am dying to read the book, but are we actually going to see the movie Vertical?
Well, I've just done a couple of one or two little kind of pre-events, and that always comes up. They're reading it. The director, Alexander Payne, is reading it. The producer read it and loved it. He's actually read two different versions, but it's gone through proofing and copy editing and whatever. And so, Hollywood's different. It's a fickle world. Fox Searchlight, which is the specialty division of 20th Century Fox, who produced Sideways, they own the film rights in perpetuity, so they can just sit on it if they want.
Really?
And they'll wait for, and they'll, because it's such a special film for them, they'll wait for Alexander Payne, the director, to make that decision. And, you know, he's reading it, and it's a big decision for him because it's going to be 2-3 years out of his life. And, you know, he's quite a bit in demand. So, you know, I just keep your fingers crossed. There are a lot of people would like it to happen, but it really is going to probably come down to one person. And if Alexander said, well, I need to think about it, or I'm going to go off and make another film, they'll wait for him.
So I've got to ask this, and I'm sure you've heard this question 18 times. You know, we talk about it being written in the first person, as Vertical is as well. Is it hard for you to see Miles, which is your personification, on the screen? And how would you feel about that at Vertical?
I'll tell you, I thought it was going to be hard to see it, but when I saw like a couple early screenings, and it was, you know, they were well received. But then there was a huge screening before the film was actually released in Santa Barbara. I mean, it was like 1,500 people in this old theater, I think it's called the Arlington. They were laughing and just so into the movie that you can kind of overlook some of the more personal moments, like when Miles drinks too much and then calls his ex-wife. You know, that probably was Rex Tickett circa 1999 when I wrote the book. So, you know, when you have that kind of, when the film is so critically acclaimed, then you say, well, it was worth it to be so self-effacing and so self-deprecating and so personal. Had the film been, you know, critically maligned and not made money, now, you know, now you feel like you're a solipsistic, not monster, but you know what I mean? So it was the accolades that made it easier to handle. So
they liked you. They really, really liked you.
Pardon?
They like you. They really, really like you. I think it's great. Kit, did you want to add something?
I'm all alone in my apartment here. I'm single.
No, I was going to say, I don't normally, Laura can tell you, I don't suck up to guests. But I will tell you this, in my history of renting Netflix movies, that's the only movie I've ever watched 3 times before I sent it back. Wonderful story.
Well,
beautifully defined characters.
Thank you so much. I honestly cannot tell you how much I get that. I mean, I don't go out and tell people I wrote Sideways, but if I just walk over to Starbucks or Pete's or whatever and something, well, what do you do? I'm a writer. Oh, what'd you write? You know, what do you write? And I said, well, I wrote this thing that became a little movie you might have seen. You know, it's called Sideways. Man, their head, especially if it's a woman, their head whips like 90 degrees. You know, I'm suddenly 10 years younger. It's like I just came out of a Botox treatment or whatever. I'm suddenly, you know, Brad Pitt. It's bizarre. But they'll say, I've heard this so many times, I love that movie. And they say it unhesitatingly and utterly genuinely. And I think it's a combination of two things. There is a kind of it's a very original film, and the characters feel very lived in and very real, and people can relate to that. And also, bear in mind, the last 5 years, I mean, films have been pretty much directed at a younger audience. We got a lot of CGI and franchise films. They don't have heart and soul. I think Sideways just has a lot of heart and soul.
I don't disagree.
Or remember that. It stays with them.
Or lack of soul, depending on how you look at it. Well, Rex, right, it has been delightful getting to know you. And I have to admit, now that I've talked to you and consider about the first person, I would at least honk the horn before I saw Miles in a parking lot. How about that?
All right. Well, probably you do have my picture. So, yeah, just, you know, maybe break because, you know, I'd like to sign your book, Laura.
Fair enough. Well, Rex, hopefully we're going to keep our fingers crossed that we hear about Vertical come to the big screen. We're going to have you back on the show. And for our listeners,
great,
please check out his blog. I know that I will be, if nothing else, just to torment him a little bit further. Rex, thank you for being on The Crush, and we look forward
thank
to November 21st.
Thank you, Laura. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Take care. Hey, we're going to take a small break right here on The Crush, but when we return, your calls, your emails, and a little follow-up on Rex Pickett.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153.
800-793-2153.
Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We just got finished speaking with Rex Pickett. He was the author of Sideways, and he has his upcoming book, Vertical, coming out. And I will say it certainly has made an impression on all of us. It was great to talk to Rex, but I still stand by it. I'd still run miles over in the parking lot. Like I said, I might honk before I ran over Rex. But Kent, I'm aghast. I've never heard you suck up to a guest in my life.
That was just, to me, that was an amazing story. I just thought it was the greatest movie. Good, well cast and everything. And I love the fact, at first I hated the fact that Miles stole his mother's money. But then later in the movie, I kind of appreciated the fact that he did, because we had to see this side of him, because he's so anal. I couldn't say that while he was on the phone, but Miles is so anal in the story.
Yeah, it is kind of hard now to discuss the movie and discuss all the characters since he talks about the first person three
right,
times.
Yeah.
You're like, Rex, really? I enjoyed talking to you. It's just your character I didn't like. Oh, wait, your character is you. So I guess before I get myself in trouble, I ought to be quiet. But yes, no, that was a lot of fun and very, very interesting.
But I fell in love with Virginia Madsen in the movie, too.
Oh, she's just stunning
great.
Anyway.
She was just great, yeah.
There's just no two ways about that. But, you know, that it does bring up an interesting topic, and the show is supposed to be about the listeners. So here's a question for the listeners instead of you asking me a question. Kent, this is perfect. I'm going to use you as a guinea pig. How much about wine did you know before that movie? And in doing so, did the movie itself affect how you drank or what you thought?
The movie caused me to go, what, Merlot is bad? And I was kind of surprised by that because I always thought of Merlot in a different light. It did not put me off Merlot.
Now, see, it's funny. It did for a lot of people. And I still, you know, I wish we could still have Rex on the show because I would line up about 15 winemakers I know that would just like to choke the poor man for the simple reason I talk about this all the time. And I fight it when I'm working with groups and I fight it when I'm trying to do blind tastings in the sense that Americans talk dry but drink sweet. And I agree with Rex 100%. There is some serious swill out there when it comes to Merlot. Mm-hmm. People would put anything in a bottle, charge $3.99, $4.99, be done and finished. And it wasn't exactly something that you could hang your hat on. But there are some good wines out there, and people today are scared to explore that because they think they're being plebeian. They think they're being simplistic by drinking it. So if there was any reason that I would still like to choke Miles, that would probably be it. All right, speaking of plebeian, I do have an interesting email, and I want to read this just because I'm just on that soapbox now. This email comes from Christoph in Texas. Christoph writes, "I don't understand your loyalty to Chardonnay. Sure, it is a noble grape, but overused, overripe, and overabused. Why do you continue to promote the wine, which you know that everybody and their brother can produce?" Well, Christoph, everybody has to have a flavor and everybody has to have a taste. And whether it's the situation, whether you like St. Emilion or those of you who like Merlot, bottom line is Chardonnay is still the number one selling varietal out there. It is still what people drink. And whether it's movies like what we went through with Sideways or whether it's Wine Spectator talking about Cabernets, it's always nice to have a fallback in the sense that, oh, well, it's okay to drink Chardonnay. Someone else drinks it. So am I saying I drink Chardonnay to be a role model? No. Here's what I love about Chardonnay, and people still don't get it. It is truly an expression of the winemaker. You can grow Chardonnay, and people do grow Chardonnay all over the world. And I love terroir. I love doing blind tastings. I love sticking my nose in a glass and knowing, oh, well, this came from Burgundy, this came from Bordeaux, this came from Howell Mountain, this came from Spring Mountain. But what's great about Chardonnay, it can be schizophrenic. It can have multiple personalities. It can change. And it goes back to what, believe it or not, I'm going to tie this together in a very strange way. When people ask me what I think of rating systems, when people ask me whether I follow this, the Wine Spectator, whether I follow Connoisseur Guide, whether I follow Parker, whether I follow WineX, I tell everybody, find that one critic that seems to reflect your palate. What I love with Chardonnay is the fact that at any given time, anybody can reflect my palate or my mood. It doesn't have to be from Bordeaux. It doesn't have to be from Burgundy. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be inexpensive. Bottom line is, Chardonnay is a winemaker's palate. It is what they create out of. It's where they express themselves. And so because of that, you're never bored with Chardonnay. I'm not saying people can get bored with wine, but you drink high-end, big California Cabernet often enough, you are going to get a little tired of it. Chardonnay, seriously, can be seductive. It can be silky. It can be sexy. It can be sly. It can be differentiated in so many different ways that it perfectly matches a woman's personality. Yes, we can find all those different characteristics and all those different ideas among it, and that is why I stick to Chardonnay. So, I hope that helps answer your question. And for those of you out there, never be ashamed of what you drink. I don't care if you drink White Zin. I don't care if you put it over ice. I don't care if you freeze it. Drink what you like, not what you're told, and always be willing to stand up for it. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we'll wrap the show up and think about what we're going to do here at the Future in the Crush.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20-year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-ya! Concrete. Hi-ya! Brick walls. Hi-ya! Trees. Hi-ya! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. Hi-ya! It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
The Wine Crush.
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we have had a lot of fun. We have been vertical. We have been horizontal. We have done all kind of different directions, basically based around the great advice and the sage interview of Mr. Rex Pickett. And, of course, we have discussed the fact that it's a great time of year to look at horizontal vertical wines, such as port, but also that we need to kind of get ourselves centered about what's going on. So in light of that, as we get geared up for the holiday season, it seems like every year we have the glossy magazines. We have all the great advice on what to drink with your turkey, on what kind of wine gifts to give. Let's think outside the box this year. How about a little help? Give me a call, 877-4CRUSH-1. Or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. What are all the dark and dirty secrets about holiday gift giving, about wine, about drinking, that you've always wanted to ask but been ashamed to? You know, I taught several years about the fact every time I see one of those beautiful glossy magazines with that beautiful bird on front, mine never looked like that. I know that the beautiful table settings, all the pretty cupcakes, all that extra time spent, I don't have it. I have to assume that you, my listener, are in the same boat I am. So in doing that, what kind of down and dirty secrets can we find to make your holiday gift giving and a little ideas a little bit simpler and a little bit easier? Once again, for those of you who don't want to call, you can always go to our website, winecrush.com. But as we look at the heart and soul, whether it was Christoph's question to me or whether it was Rex talking about Miles in the first person, it's always fun to think about this. And I do want to leave you with a parting thought today. When you think about what you drink, you know, we've heard for years growing up that you are what you eat. Well, what is said about you by what you drink? I'm an advocate of Chardonnay. I drink everything, but I'm a Chardonnay drinker. Miles is a Pinot Noir drinker. Every varietal, every wine has its own characteristics, its own description. Are we adapting ourselves to the description of the wine, or are we picking our wine based on the description? It's very fun to talk about. Of course, for those of you who might drink nothing but scotch, we'll definitely see how that affects you as well. But that can be a topic of an upcoming show. We would absolutely love to hear your thoughts. Once again, call us 877-4-CRUSH-1. Does your wine make your personality? Anyway, here at The Crush, we remind you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.